of Easter is what? He is risen. He is risen. We serve a living Savior. Amen? Right? If you would go to some of the tombs of people who claim to be the Messiah, you might still find their bones in the graves. But you go maybe, you go to where Jesus was buried, you're not going to find bones there. Because we serve a risen Savior. And so we're going to look at this text. What is going on? How is Matthew, as he writes this, how does he get the information? What does he picture that beautiful day to be like? So we begin in verse 28. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, what had happened was, remember, it was during the Passover and that week that Jesus was crucified. And there was not the time at the beginning for the women to prepare Jesus' body, how it should have been prepared for burial. They didn't get maybe all the spices and stuff they wanted to put on his body. So we have these two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, going to the tomb. They've come to finish the preparation of Jesus' body. They're not expecting an empty tomb, right? I don't even know if they're thinking about, first of all, there's a stone rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb, unless the two women had been working out for a while. How were they going to get that tomb or that stone rolled away? I don't even think they were thinking that far. I think they were still in this daze. Jesus just last week was walking with us, doing miracles. We saw him raise Lazarus. And we were celebrating as we came into the city of Jerusalem. Remember that? Hosanna, Hosanna. And now he's not with us anymore. And sometimes you can go in a day, you know, when you lose somebody, you just kind of, you're not always there. I remember when my mother passed away, and I was able to be there when she passed away, and we went back from the hospital. I went with my dad and my sister, and we got back to my dad's place, and he just sat there and didn't say much. And he had family coming down over the next couple of days as we were preparing for the funeral. And I remember as his brothers and sisters, my aunt and uncles were coming, he was saying, come to the back bedroom and whatever you want of Shirley's, my mother, take it, take it. You can have it, take it. I'm thinking, Dad, you don't want to keep anything of Mom's? And he was at that point, it was like, just take it. Just take it. And so I think these women came to the tomb, they wanted to finish the burial in preparation of Jesus' body. And it says, as they came, there was what? A violent earthquake. Do you remember the last time a violent earthquake came in Scripture? When he died. Yeah. Remember the curtain was torn in two in the violent earthquake? And now it comes again. Now, listen to this. It was not the earthquake that made the stone roll away. Okay? It says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven. And going to the tomb, it says, he rolled back the stone. So it was the angel that rolled back the stone. And what does he do? I love this. He sat on it. Okay, imagine in your mind what that picture looks like. And the women come, and here's this angel. I don't know if he's like got his leg over the other leg, and he's just sitting there, right? Sitting, I don't know what to say. He's just sitting there, and so, but his appearance in verse 3, it says, it was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. And then we read about the guards. Do you remember what happened? There was this whole thing that they wanted to put guards in front of the tomb, because there's rumor going around that maybe Jesus was going to rise or something was going to happen. And they're thinking, well, you know, we don't believe that there's a resurrection, but maybe the disciples want to come and steal the body. So we're not going to let that happen. We're going to put the guards in front of the tomb to stand there, stand guard. And it says in verse 4, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook, right? And it says they became like dead men. They probably just fell to the ground. It just kind of, wow. Stone is gone. Earthquake, stone is gone. An angel just there sitting on the stone. It says they're like dead men. They just fall away. And the women are coming to this, right? And so the angel says, they say to the women, do not be afraid, for what you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. He is not here. They've come to prepare his body still, and the angel says, this same Jesus who you saw being crucified, you saw him die, he is not here. And they didn't end it there, right? Because they might have thought, if the angel said he's not here, they'd be thinking in their mind, the women would be thinking, what happened? Did somebody come and take Jesus' body away? No, he says, he is not here. He has what? Risen. Just as he said. And Jesus told his disciples 2-3 times at least that he was going to die and what was going to happen to him. He told them that he would rise again. And in John chapter 14, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, right? I go to prepare a place for you where there are many rooms and mansions, and when I go, I will come back for you. And we know the disciples were not quick learners. Duh. No, I think they learned well, but sometimes they just didn't get it. And then the angel says, come and see the place where he lay. And so I can imagine the women kind of maybe peeked into the tomb. I don't know, it doesn't say how far they went. We know on the other gospel stories, you know, Peter and John, they ran past the women in one of the stories, and they went right in there. They didn't, you know, we're not peeking, we're delving right in there to check it out. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him. Tell them this, you will see him. So what do we see here? The women become the first what? Messengers of the gospel. They become the first missionaries that go forth, right? Where do you think the church would be without any women, men? We had a great men's breakfast yesterday, didn't we? But look at the women. They produced a cross that looks beautiful. And we just let the food come to us at the restaurant. So the women, it says in verse 8, they hurried away from the tomb. Listen to their words. They said, they're afraid, yet filled with joy. There's that fear of what? The unknown. We really don't understand. We have just seen an angel sitting on a tomb or sitting on the stone at the tomb. We're told that Jesus is risen. His body's not there anymore. And we're told to go and tell the rest of the disciples. There's this fear, but they're filled with what? They're filled with joy. Filled with joy. Someone stated it like this. Saints running into obedience into the joy of Jesus. Listen to those words again. Saints running into obedience into the joy of Jesus. Saying we should be running like these women into obedience where Christ leads us. And it leads us to what? It leads us to joy. Jesus is joy, leads us into joy. A relationship with him is about joy. Even in the midst of hard times, and we've all experienced it in our life, right? A loss of somebody, things that didn't go well at work or a relationship. even in the midst of these hard times, there is joy in Jesus. And the women recognize this. So they ran to tell the disciples, it says, and then suddenly Jesus meets them. And he says, "Greetings." In other versions, he says, "Rejoice! Rejoice!" And it says, what's the first thing they do? It says they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they what? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. In the midst of pain, because they were still going through pain and suffering. In the midst of this pain, what did they do? They worshiped Jesus. And Jesus didn't pull back, did he? Jesus accepted their worship. And you know what? Jesus still accepts our worship today. Doesn't he? In the midst of pain that we might be having in our lives, difficulties, hardships, when you begin to worship Jesus, sometimes that stuff kind of disappears. It's still there, but it's in the background because we're focused on Jesus. And that's what's happening to these ladies. They clasp his feet and they worship him. Do you remember a little bit of the story before that? One of the women took the oil and washed his feet with that expensive perfume. And they said, "Why would you waste all that money?" And here they're clasping Jesus' feet. They're worshiping him. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me." And scripture tells us there are many other times that Jesus appears to the disciples and to other people. So that's the good news. The Savior is risen. Now we come to what we call the cover-up. You like suspense, and you read a novel, you're reading the good part, and then you read, oh, someone's trying to cover up something. And that's what we read in verses 11 to 15. While the women were on their way, the guards, remember the guards who were what, terrified and almost like dead, became like dead men, they shook. While these guards, I was going to call them the wimpy guards, I won't do that. These guards go into the city and they report to the chief priests everything that happened. So the truth, listen to this, the truth is getting out. The guards are going and saying, "Hey, all of a sudden there was this earthquake, and before we knew it, there's this angel or something sitting on the stone." The truth of really what is happening is going out. And you know what? The religious leaders of that day, the chief priests, do not want to hear the truth. So they devise a plan to cover it up. There's many people today, I hate to say that, don't want to hear the truth, do they? They cover it up. They don't really want to experience or know the truth. So it says they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, and here's what they say. Here's the story. Here's the cover-up story. You say, "His disciples came during the night, and they stole him while we were asleep." And if this report gets to the governor, that'll satisfy him. And it'll keep you out of trouble. And so it says the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. Now, what I found out that there was, anytime a soldier during that time, would they have to look after somebody, whether it was a prisoner or here in front of the tomb, and they would fall asleep on the job. Anybody ever fallen asleep on your job at all? Well, no one's shaking their heads. I don't think anybody would admit it, would they? I fell asleep once giving a sermon. No, I'm just joking on that one. Sometimes you're thinking, yeah, it seems like you're asleep, Pastor. They fell asleep. And you know what? If they fell asleep, the punishment was death. These soldiers would lose their life. But here, no, it's like, we'll keep you out of trouble, okay? Just make up the story that the disciples stole the body. Or, you know, another story that was going out, we've heard, was, he didn't really die at all. Jesus didn't die, okay? They took him off the cross. He wasn't totally dead. It's called the swoon theory, okay? He just kind of like fainted on the cross. He wasn't dead. And the coolness in the tomb, guess what it did? It revived his body. Have you heard that one? It revived his body. And then Jesus, who was in there, you know, for 3 days, and he's revived now, has the energy to push that stone away. Crazy, okay? So many different stories. Or the disciples hallucinated. The women hallucinated this. It really didn't happen. You know what? It takes more truth to believe all those cover-up stories, or more faith to believe all those cover-up stories than to believe the real biblical account. So why do we believe the resurrection happened? Because there's eyewitnesses, there is history, there is historical evidence. Now, I've heard some people say, I believe Jesus resurrected because he's in my heart. And I'm hoping Jesus is in our hearts, right? But we need more than that. We need the proof. And the proof is in the Word of God. There's eyewitnesses there. There's the story is there of Jesus' resurrection. Now, what do we do with it? Right? We know the story. Jesus died for us. He was resurrected. And he's alive. The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father. And someday we'll meet him. How are we going to respond? Do you remember how Thomas responded? You remember that story? I'm not going to believe until I see it. Now, we none of us have seen God. Anybody seen God lately? No. Anybody seen Jesus? No, we haven't. We sometimes have dreams. And the Bible talks to the prophets in the old times, in the Old Testament, there was visions and dreams, and those are things. But in person, we haven't seen it. But we believe it because it's there. Now we got to live it. We got to live as resurrected people. That means we need to have faith. And out of that faith comes boldness. You know what happened to the disciples in their life? They became pretty bold people. Before, they were hiding, right? Jesus was taken, beaten. They weren't around. They were hiding. They were afraid. After the resurrection, after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there was boldness. Boldness in their lives. Now, I don't know what that means for you. What does it mean to be bold in your Christian faith? For me, it means to be always ready to be, or ready to give a witness at any time. If somebody asks me, what's important in your life? What are some important things you believe in or live for? And I tell you this, when I was younger, I was afraid to tell people that I believed in Jesus. I remember in math classes, grade 6 math class, I'm sitting there and the teacher went to our church. And he goes, Mark, wasn't that a great sermon? This was Monday. He goes, wasn't that a great sermon the pastor had on Sunday? And you know what I did? I'm looking around. Well, I don't know you. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to say that I even went to a church. But we have, because of the resurrection, and we're resurrected people, we have faith and we have boldness. Boldness to share about the resurrected Jesus. We serve a risen Savior. That's the good news today. And he's there for us, even in the midst of anything we're going through. Let's be like the women who worshiped him. And even in the midst of not understanding everything, they worship Jesus. And you know what? Jesus will never turn away from our worship. Worship is what we do here on Sunday morning. Worship can be done in the privacy of your home. When you get up in the morning out of your bed, what's the first thing you do? First thing I do is put my feet on the floor and take Wally out. But the first thing, I'm just happy to be alive, that God has given me another day to live for him and to somehow be bold for him and somehow love people, right? Christians, you'll know the Christians, you'll know them by their what? By their love, how they love each other and how you love the broken world. Jesus died for broken people. Jesus was raised from the dead for broken people like you and me. and others in the world. So let's go this Resurrection Sunday. Let's go in boldness and faith and worship our risen Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he lives, and we know he lives because we have the truth in Scripture, the historical truth, but we also know he lives because he lives within us. And we can have that faith, and we can have that boldness to go forth to proclaim the good news of a risen Savior. Oh Lord, would you bless each person, each family here today as they go out and celebrate with a meal or together with their families or maybe by themselves, Lord. May you bless them. And may we as people that are here, may we take some extra time today to worship Jesus, whatever that means for you, to say a prayer, maybe to turn on a great song of worship, but to worship Jesus today and give him thanks. But because of the resurrection, that we will have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hear these words again that the angel said to the women, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples. May you today go quickly and tell others that our Savior is risen. Amen.